I'm Evelyn. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous. Anyway, I guess I'll tell you a little bit about what happened. I have a sponsor. I had a sponsee, but I'm working on that. My home group is Fireside on Wednesday nights at Turning Point. And I guess starting off when I was little, I was always kind of delusional, if you will. There would be contests and stuff at school. There'd be like a teacher that would like draw names out of a hat, and I would be like, I would like fantasize that I was going to be the winner, and that like confetti was going to fly, and like everybody was going to be cheering, and like stuff like that. Like stuff like that all the time. Just always like I had to win at everything. Everything was huge. I always had huge expectations, like since I was like tiny, and I was always an adamant liar. I remember like, and I always wanted to see what I could get away with. So, for instance, like, I stole a box of crayons from the drugstore when I was, like, 5 years old. And I remember, like, on the way home, I took it out of my pocket, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Mom, look what I found in my pocket just now. And she was like, did you take that from there? And I was like, no. And for some reason, she actually bought it. I don't know. I was always a really good liar. And that all kind of really just tumbles in and ties into, like, everything that happened. I started in high school, I guess. I was always, I was bullied and all that crap through eighth grade. I went to Catholic school. There were 11 kids in my graduating class, and I had no friends. I had one friend, and she was like 350 pounds, and I was like 70 pounds, and they called us Heavy Evie and Skinny Lenny. It was terrible. It was so mean, because her name was Jessica Lenny. Yeah, it was awful. Like, terrible. But, so I get to high school, and I was so socially awkward. Like, I went from private school to public school, so I go from like 11 kids in my class to like 200 kids in my class, and I had no idea how to talk to people. I could not be cool if my life depended on it. I was like in show choir and just, you know, happy singing and dancing, but I could not socialize. Like, guys would come up to talk to me, and they would ask me how my day was going, and I would just like look at them and like walk away really fast. I was pretty much terrified of everybody. But then like that whole like delusions of grandeur thing, like when they had homecoming court come across, I was like super bummed that I wasn't elected. Just like, what the like, really? Anyway, my older brother, he was a senior in high school while I was a freshman, and he tried to, like, help me be cool. Well, he took me to my first party, and I remember exactly where it was. I remember what I drank, how many I drank. I remember how I felt, and I remember, like, being able to talk to people and not feeling awkward. And it was kind of like, wow, this is it. And I was pretty good. Like, I was still, like, the goody-goody, like, honors, AP, all that, like, all through high school, maintained really good grades, but, like, I snuck out all the time and stuff, so, like, my parents always thought I was still a goody-goody, but, like, I started partying, and really, when I went to college, because my parents never let me do much, I went to college and kind of went nuts. I went to Ohio State without parental supervision, and yeah, that was a good time. I was the girl that brought in a pony keg and put it in our shower at the dorms. So, it was fun. Everybody else after first quarter kind of slowed down. They were like, oh, well, we kind of, like, got bad grades our first quarter. Maybe we should start studying instead of partying. And I, like, went out and I got a job in a bar immediately. So, that, I guess, turned into, I was hanging out with older people. I had people to buy me alcohol whenever I wanted it. I could always provide the party. And, I was started to become a mess. I got my first DUI when I was 20, 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. So my 21st birthday was not so much fun. I spent that with my parents. I think I watched Steel Magnolias with my mom. So, yeah. You know, they really, like, were forgiving. My parents are very loving. I'm one of five kids, and I'm the only one thus far that's like me. We've got a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old still coming up, so, my other brother, like, he's a graduate from MIT with a dual major in biological and chemical engineering, so, you know, he works for Merck Pharmaceuticals in Philly, and, you know, I'm like, I can sing and dance and paint and draw. Yeah. Like, oh, and I'm an alcoholic. So, yeah, like, and then my other brother, like, has the White House with the white picket fence, a little yappy white dog, like, married, like, and he's like, why can't you just be more like me? And I'm like, I'd rather put a campfire out with my face, but thank you. So, anyway, but my parents kind of wrote off that first DUI. That was, like, my first real consequence. You know, I'd kind of gotten in some trouble. I got busted drinking once, and, like, you know, like, in high school. Like, my parents were like, oh, don't do that again. You're grounded. And I just snuck out. But so after that happened, I didn't drink for probably, I don't even remember, like, how many months, but it was a few months. And I just decided one day, I remember, like, it was at the grocery store, and I bought a bottle of wine. I was like, I'm old enough now. I haven't actually purchased alcohol. Like, I'm 21, and yeah, I'm gonna get a bottle of wine. And, you know, that just turned into, you know, I went through that cycle a lot. I always worked in bars. I graduated from Ohio State, and I used the recession as an excuse to not use my degree and to continue bartending because I couldn't find a job for the life of me. But I didn't really try. I was very happy being a bartender. I bartended in this really, it was kind of an awesome place. It was called Animali's, and it was in the basement of this old motel in German Village, in Columbus, Ohio. And, yeah, it was all the state reps, the lawyers, the cops, the judges, all of those guys in town, because nobody knew about it. And it was in the basement of a motel, so they would all park their cars and come down and get sloshed, and then, you know, tip me highly because they weren't there. But while I was working there, I got my second DUI. And I was on my way home to Marietta. Marietta's a two-hour drive from Columbus. I had my dog in the car. I was all packed up. But, of course, it was the cops' fault. You know, they were picking on me, whatever. But I learned from my first one. Oh, yeah, the first DUI, I'd never been in trouble with the cops before. So they were like, ma'am, have you been drinking? I was like, yes, I'm very, very drunk, and I'm so sorry. Like, oh, my gosh, it was, like, on film. It was horrible. So the judge kind of threw the book at me, like, 3 days in jail, like, everything, never been in trouble. And then, like, my second and third DUIs, like, the only thing that I said when the cops were like, ma'am, have you been drinking? And I was just like, not without my lawyer present. Yeah. Not without my lawyer present. So, yeah. So my second and third DUIs were both knocked down to a first offense because they didn't have nothing on me. But I still don't have a license because of that. You know, my last DUI was a really big consequence because I had bought a car with money I had saved up, and for the lawyer, and for all the court fees and everything, and to keep my ass out of jail, it cost me about $14,000 to stay out of jail, and I had to sell my car to pay for everything. So that was, you know, that was really hard. That's a hard thing. But, you know, like, that's just a thing. It's just a car, you know. I'm really happy that I have my life. You know, that's pretty cool. I really started towards the end, you know, after I got my third DUI, I still continued drinking, and I started started partying with other substances as well. And you know, I thought that I had it figured out because I wasn't blacking out anymore, and I, like, remembered everything, and it was amazing. So I was like, oh, my gosh, this is great. I can party all night. I can remember everything. But, you know, I was only sleeping, like, four nights a week. So that really wasn't working out for me. And I stopped showing up to work. And I had a really cool job. I was a designer, and I made costumes for costume specialists. That's what it was called. It's called costume specialist, but like I was designing with the CEO for a Nickelodeon project, and I had wine in my water bottle. Like I would go on like 40-mile bike rides with wine in my water bottle. Wine was with me everywhere I went. It was like my best friend. Oh, and my dog Disco Biscuit. He was my sidekick. He shares a lot of my stories. Bless his little heart, and he's still with me down here, and I think that he's really happy that mommy's sober. But I ended up, you know, there were a lot of family things happening. But the biggest reason why I ended up coming down to treatment, when my nephew was born, I told, like, there were a lot of complications and everything. And when my mom called, I was at work, and they were like, hey, you know, they were telling me everything that was going on, and my little brother and sister, they were both 11 at the time, they were at the house by themselves all day at my brother's house, and I was like, well, I can go hang out with them. I was like, I can sit there with them all day, like, you know, so that they're not alone. You guys don't have to worry about that. Well, I got there, and I opened the freezer to get ice for a Diet Coke, and there was a bottle of vodka, and I proceeded to drink it all in less than an hour. And my parents found me on the floor of the nursery, just bawling my eyes out, like, just passed out. I don't remember leaving, but my mom had to carry me through my brother's house in front of my 11-year-old siblings and, you know, drag my ass home. And instead, like, that's the most selfish thing I could do, you know. Like, they were going from hospital to hospital in between the mother and the baby of their first grandchild, and they're worrying about their 27-year-old daughter who, you know, was just passed out when she went over to babysit. And, you know, a few other things happened, and I came down here and went to Turning Point. And it really, like, I knew I had a problem, but when I got to Turning Point, I was just like, I know I have a problem and everything, but, you know, I'll be good. I just need a breath of fresh air. I need to get out of Columbus for 30 days. It's just going to be great. And I thought I was going to go back and, like, live my life once I had alcohol out of my system. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, everything up in here, it's not just, you know, take the alcohol away, and I'm still a little batshit crazy sometimes. So, I learned a lot at Turning Point, and that place really jump-started my recovery. But I have to say that since then, it's been the women and my friends that have really taught me a lot with all their experience and everything, listening to me and giving me all the experience and strength and hope that they can give me, and having an amazing sponsor who I just absolutely adore, who I look up to, and she has something that I want. And, you know, I'm very blessed, and I'm lucky to be here. And I feel like, you know, I went through everything, and I, like, went through the self-pity and everything, but I'm grateful that I went through everything, because I wouldn't have the friends and things that I had today, because I've never had friends like this. I never knew how to be a friend. And that's been the most important thing, I think, for me, is that I've learned how to actually be a good person and not to just make myself look like I'm being a good person. And I hope to take it with me for the rest of my life, and I hope to keep learning and remain teachable so that I can keep living like this and just keep growing, because it's only been 6 months, and it's been a trip, and I'm glad I'm here. So thank you.